70. Dominic Steele this evening. Now, I want to go back to the subject we were talking to earlier with the former Archbishop of Sydney, the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, Peter Jensen. And David Auld is the Minister of Glenquarrie Anglican Church and a watcher of international church affairs. We mentioned earlier when we were talking to Peter Jensen that there's been an important meeting of Anglican leaders from all around the world in Canterbury in the last week. David's on the line. David, what is your take on what's taken place in England these last few days?
Well, Dominic, it was... Hi, good evening, by the way. How are you going?
Yes, sorry. Good evening to you.
It's been fascinating, hasn't it? Many people have been watching it from all different theological opinions, and many conservative people watching it, you might want to say theologically orthodox people who kind of hold the traditional line on the presenting issues of marriage and stuff like that, they were initially very disappointed by what happened. They were perhaps hoping that even stronger sanctions, stronger penalties would be imposed. But actually, now that the dust is slowly settling, I think many people are starting to, from that view, are starting to think, actually, this isn't a bad, quite a bad result after all. It's not perfect. We haven't had the exclusion of the Episcopal Church and others from the communion, but realistically, that was never going to happen. But what we've got now is some real clarity from these primates, these heads of the Anglican provinces, by an overwhelming majority, that the sort of stuff that the Episcopal Church has done just isn't on. And they've given them a little bit of time to think about what they're going to do. They've almost sat them on the timeout step and said, take 3 years just to think about this. And so we've got some real clarity now, which not only sends a clear message to the Episcopal Church, but also to other provinces around the world who might be thinking about doing similar things.
The voting was 27 for the sanctions, 3 against, and 5 abstentions. Is that right?
I've got 26.
26.
But you know what? None of us were there, and we're all working on different sources that we're getting from the meeting. So the final vote I've got from someone very close to one of the primates is 26 votes for, 3 against, and then 6 people who took the politic decision of abstaining on the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so overwhelming. I mean, 3/4 of the primates there very, very clearly saying this is a serious issue. Only 3 voting against, of which two will have been the two provinces who were most involved in doing these things in the first place.
So,
you know, yeah, quite striking.
What was the role of the Australian primate in it all?
Well, so the Australian primate...
He's the guy from Melbourne.
That's right, Archbishop Philip Freer from Melbourne. Archbishop Freer is well known in Australia for himself being a bit of a delicate politician, liking to sort of position himself as, how would one put it, as referee of the game rather than playing in it. Of course, he's not said. I made any public statement afterwards, but from sources that I've been talking to, it seems pretty clear that he probably was one of the abstainers.
Right, one of the abstainers.
Said,
right,
yeah, okay. He said, but, well, we know for a fact he said very little during the debates on this topic. And I think from what people know of him, it's probably quite clear that he's one of the 6 abstentions. And that's very typical of Archbishop Freer, but also possibly going to be the way that he's going to play it when these matters get discussed in Australia itself later in the year.
So what are the implications for Australian Anglican Christians?
Well, in one sense, directly none at all, because the issues that were raised were about the Episcopal Church in America, most of all. But more broadly, it is very hard now for people campaigning inside the church for a change of doctrine on marriage to suggest that somehow this is anything more than a little bit of an aberration for the worldwide communion. So I think it puts pressure back upon those people who have been campaigning, such as Bishop John Parkes in Wangaratta, and in her own way, Bishop Kay Goldsworthy in Gippsland Diocese, and others who have made noises about it. It really, I think, is not good for them. When and if they want to campaign again on this issue, others in the Anglican Church in Australia who are more conservative, more traditional-minded, who read their Bible and say, look, we think the Church has got it right for 2,000 years on this, they'll be able to go, and the rest of the communion is pretty unanimously said that is the right position. So I think it kind of puts the pressure back on those who are campaigning for a change. But, you know, they may still yet want to have a go. They may claim, as the Episcopal Church does, that God is doing a new thing, that the Holy Spirit is moving, and still try and make that campaign. I think what's what's come out very clearly from this primates meeting once again is that the Western churches in Western countries, which are all that you and I know, really, and our listeners know around us in Australia, are actually, that more liberalizing movement is actually a really small minority within the Anglican Communion as a whole. Campaigners here will talk about, oh, this is the movement, this is where the church is going. But actually, when you step back and look globally, they stand out. They're very, very different to where the majority of the Anglican Communion is today.
Mate, thanks very much for talking to us tonight.
Thanks, Dominic. Thanks for having me on.
That's David Auld. He's a Christian commentator and also the minister of a Glen Quarry Anglican Church down in the southwest of Sydney, and a watcher there of international church affairs. 1300 13 1170, maybe you've got a view on that. It would be good to hear from you and hear your take on all of that. Coming up shortly...